God bless you. Welcome to everybody out there on the phone lines. Thank you for dialing in, and thank you for everybody that's come today here. It's always a privilege, a pleasure to teach God's Word. There is nothing like it. If you've never experienced the greatest thing you could ever experience in life, that means you haven't taught the Word. And I would recommend that you try that sometime, because it will change your life. But I'm very thankful for your stand, your desire to know God and to understand His Word, to take a stand with Him, because truly life is a balance between good and evil. And we find ourselves caught in the midst of it at any given moment. The more of God's Word we have in our minds, the better equipped we're going to be to understand what we're up against. The more we manifest Christ in us, in other words, the nine manifestations, the better equipped we'll be to handle those situations. So you need to have understanding, and then you need to have power. And understanding comes from God's Word, and power comes from Christ in you. And that's what we do. We teach people how to understand God's Word, and then how to manifest power. You can go to all kinds of places and get bits and pieces of God's Word so you understand bits and pieces of things. But very seldom can you ever go anywhere to learn how to manifest God's power. And that's what separates you from everybody else. I ask you to take it to heart, to learn the nine manifestations of Holy Spirit, and then to operate those, because that is God's will for your life. Paul taught it, Peter taught it, John taught it, all the apostles taught it, and now we teach it, because we believe that God's Word is still the same as it was back then. And I ask you to take that to heart. But before I teach, and I'm very excited about teaching, I know you've got something to say to me. I know you got to get this out, so I'm going to let you do it. Just go ahead and start. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do, and I have God's favor in my life. ¿Y en español? Yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo puedo hacer lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer. Y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. Give yourselves a hand. Ah, it's great to get that off your chest, isn't it?
Yeah.
Take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to pick up with the fruit of the Spirit, very specifically the word called long-suffering, or the fruit called long-suffering. It's not a word we use today, so we got to play around in the word to understand what it really means. If you're interested in the three previous fruits of the Spirit listed, love, joy, peace, you can hear those in previous area fellowship teachings, and they're on rbrc.us. But turn to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Then verse 23, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. These are totally separated from the law. They're totally separated from any form of religion. They are 100% supernatural. And they cannot happen unless you choose them. And so we've already talked about love, joy, peace. Peace took a long time, but it's a huge subject, just like faith is going to be a huge subject. Long-suffering is our next one. Now, long-suffering is also mentioned, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've been following my teachings on agape, and that would be for about the last 20 years, you would probably have heard the word long-suffering. And so we find a lot of really great information in 1 Corinthians 13 about agape. And 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. See, these guys knew about speaking in tongues. And they knew that when they spoke in tongues, it was going to be a tongue either of an angel or of man. One or the other. The angels do have a language. They have languages, probably. I don't know. But we do know that there's separation between those languages. And when you speak in tongues, you could be using one or the other. But if you don't have charity, even though you do speak in tongues, maybe even an angelic tongue, you are become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You're just clatter. Charity is the word agape. And though I have, and if you have a pen, preferably a black magic marker, scratch out the words "the gift of." And though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, and remember, what does faith mean? Believing. So that I could remove mountains and have not charity. And what does charity come from? Agape. I am nothing. So what we've learned very briefly is that without the manifestation of agape, whatever it is, we're nothing. You could go out and move mountains all day long. You could be completely into real estate and say, well, would you like to live on a mountain? Sure, boom, there it is. But if you don't do that with agape, you got some serious issues. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not agape, it profiteth me nothing. You can give your life to the poor, even to the point that you die. But if you don't do it with agape, there is no profit in it. Oh yeah, they get fed, but that's not what God looks at. Interesting. Verse 4, charity suffereth long. And that is the first of the, there's 15 different codes in here. I call agape the behavior, the believer's behavioral code of conduct. It's the Christian's code of conduct. It's how a Christian is supposed to live. You guide your life by these different codes. And one of them is suffereth long. And it, this, these two words, suffereth long, come from the Greek makrothumia. And makro means a long way. Like, remember the prodigal son? And the father, now we don't call it the prodigal son because that's really a misnomer. It's all about the forgiving father. The prodigal son, yeah, he was pretty stupid what he did, but most of us are. We go do stupid things all the time, don't we? But if you read that parable, you'll understand that it's talking about forgiveness. And so it's better titled The Forgiving Father. Well, now when that son came to his senses, broke, destitute, and absolutely depressed, and came back home, his father saw him a long way off, walking over the hills. He saw him a long way away, and that's the word makro. And enthumos is that swelling of the mind. We call it anger. And the agape code, suffereth long, says that you take that swelling of the mind and you put it a long way away from you. That's the code. Well, I thought before we even get into that, that we should study this out of the Old Testament. And I'd like you to turn to Proverbs 15. I want you to understand that anger is one of the most devilish tools a Christian can manifest. And when you have a group of people where anger overruns them, then you have a disaster either already made or in the making. Christians are not supposed to be angry people. Christians are supposed to be loving people, kind people, filled with God's graciousness, that's kindness, filled with His mercy. Many times that same word means kindness. Filled with His love, filled with His grace, filled with all the good qualities of God. And it's sad to note that anger erases them all. Now, we don't want to admit when we have anger because we know how bad it is. Some of us are so used to having anger that it's the norm. But I want to tell you that anger is not supposed to be the norm. It's the devil's norm, but it's not Christ's norm. Anger should be so far removed from a Christian that when it does appear, it's easily recognizable and very quickly dealt with. Now, we do know that the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. What was that, Ephesians 5:13, something like that? Be ye angry and sin not. You're going to get mad. But I'm not talking about casual stuff. I'm talking about anger that sits in there and becomes the foundation of your existence. And I've noticed living in a city, it's easy to get mad a lot. I mean, there's all kinds of ridiculous things that happen that you have to deal with. Traffic, schedules, pressures from other people, non-Christians. You know, you're trying to exist in a society that doesn't even love God. And so there's just things that happen. And then there's the governmental aspects, environmental aspects, social aspects of life that you have to deal with. Well, the end result could be a lot of anger, where it's easy to trigger, easy to get hot-headed about things. I want to tell you something, that you're not supposed to be that way. You're supposed to be peaceful. You're supposed to be loving. You're supposed to be kind. Anger just shouldn't exist, for the most part. I mean, it should be a total anomaly, you know, like a spike. I always say that word, now I forgot how to say it. But, you know, you got a line going along like this. This is just normal homeostasis life. And all of a sudden, boing, something happens. That's an anomaly. And that's anger. That's what it should look like. What was that? Why did that happen? Well, let's fix that. Let's bring out the fruit of the Spirit, because that's what they're for. In other words, you live by a code. You choose a code. You decide that you're going to be a certain way. What if you don't want to be a certain way? You see, that's where the problem comes in. You know, there's an interesting theory, many theories, I guess, on life and how people control themselves. Like, for instance, if you have a really bad problem, is it a demon? Is it a devil? Or is it just you? And more times than not, it's just you. Because, well, there's really cool words in the Bible about habitual, about how we're creatures of habit and we just repeat things over and over. And once the devil has convinced you to be a certain way, he can leave. And then you just do your thing. And that's pretty much what happens all the time. He'll come back and visit every once in a while, stir it up again, but he knows you're just a creature of habit. And so he'll use that to his advantage, and it will become your disadvantage if you don't recognize that you're a creature of habit. We all are. And so you have to make choices. You have to choose whether or not you're going to live according to God's codes. Do you know that most people choose not to? Even well-meaning Christians. They're fine in church, but they leave the church building, and then it's back to the world. And you look at them throughout the week and go, gosh, really? Well, what happened to, you know, the smiles, and what happened to the nice words? And that's just the way people are. But we need to go to the Word and let the Word become our codes. And then never change from them. Proverbs 15:1 has a fantastic verse on anger, and I'm sure you've heard this before. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Now, it'd probably take a week to study that verse just because there's so much in it, but I'm not going to take a week. I'm going to give you some interesting things about it, though. The word soft means tender. And the word turneth means returns. And the words away wrath go together. It's like a negation. But wrath means hot displeasure or fury or poison or rage. And it can fit with any one of those words. And then the word grievous means sorrow or laborious. These words that just labor your mind, when they come out, they just work it over and over. It's like taking a plow over the same area of dirt over and over, or like smashing something over and over, and you've already got it smashed up, and now you're going to smash it again. It's laborious. And words mean speech or things or even a manner of life. And stir up means offer or arise or leap. It just comes out. And then this word for anger, it means, and this is one of my favorite ones as I've been studying this, a rapid breathing, nostrils, or even face. I mean, it's kind of hard to translate Hebrew into English because it just doesn't work like English does. But you get the gist of it when you hear these words. So if I say rapid breathing, nostrils, or face, you kind of get the idea. Has anybody ever watched a movie from India where they keep the camera on the people's face for like minutes as they change their expressions? And that's the movie. It's amazing. Well, when you hear nostrils, you know, you kind of get the idea. Well, a tender answer turns away hot displeasure. But sorrowful speech or laborious speech or manners stir up angry, rapid breathing. Have you ever experienced rapid breathing when you get upset? The heart starts palpitating, ba-bum, 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 and it's just going and going and going, and even your breathing gets shaky. So a tender answer turns away hot displeasure, but never forget that sorrowful or laborious speech or manners stir up angry wrath, angry breathing. Let's look at Proverbs 15, verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Well, this word wrathful is the old nose word, nostrils, rapid breathing. And the stirreth up means meddle or contend. You ever meddled in something you shouldn't have meddled in? That means kind of like you stuck your nose in something where it didn't belong. Strife means discord. Is there anybody that doesn't know what discord means? This messes everything up. It gets everybody all upset, all riled up. But he that is slow to anger, again, nostrils, rapid breathing, appeaseth, and appeaseth means puts to rest, strife. And strife means contest or chiding. And we're going to come back to this, but just flip over real quick to Proverbs 28. I want to show you a usage of that word metals and contend, stirreth up. Proverbs 28, verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up, and that's metals or contends. And that's that same word we just read in Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife. But he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now, I know some of you don't want to get fat, but maybe God wants you fat, okay? So, if you decide to not stir up strife, rather put your trust in the Lord and see a few pounds come on, don't worry about it. It's okay. Just kidding. Michelle's sitting over here sweating. Proverbs 17. Verse 14. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out. And that word letteth out means to, it slips out or dismisses water. A little at a time, and then the flood starts. Therefore, leave off contentions before it is meddled with. Just really fun verses to put in your memory. Well, let's go back to Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. A man with angry, rapid breathing meddles in discord. But he that is slow to manifest angry, rapid breathing puts contentions to rest. So you see how you have to learn to control this? You're not going to want to. Anger's easy. You can just jump right into it. Oh my gosh, especially as creatures of habit. But you're going to have to choose, because we don't want to be angry people. We want to be loving, kind, generous, sweet, gentle. That's what God expects of us. That's what the code of conduct is all about. That's what fruit of the Spirit are for. I'll tell you what, when you go into a group of people that are just nothing but sweet and kind and strong on God's word, you'll never want to leave. Well, that's what we should be like. There should be no excuse. You have no right to hold on to things so much that all you have is anger. I've seen people with grudges. They go to the grave with them. It's unbelievable. Why would you choose a life like that? We want to choose a life of godliness, filled with agape, filled with the fruit of the Spirit. The other way is easy. This way is not easy. It's challenging because you have to make choices. And then you have to actually do it in the face of adversity. Wow. But we can all do it. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh out a city. Do you know that the life courses of hordes of people have oftentimes been decided because of one man's anger, where somebody has to go accomplish something, do something for vengeance. Has anybody ever seen the movie Troy? That's a great example. People let their anger rule them. And we can't be like that. God's very clear on vengeance. You know, if you have such a problem with somebody that you just can't stand something, whatever it is, don't forget the verse that says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Let God take care of his part. And if you're so right about it, God's going to take care of it. But it puts the responsibility on him, not you. Because you don't want to decide the course of people's lives like that. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Well, the word slow means patient. He that is patient to anger, and anger is our nostrils again, angry, rapid breathing. That's probably not a very good translation of that, because it's like, is your breathing angry? No. But I wanted to put the word angry in there because with anger you can get rapid breathing. So I hope you understand what I'm saying. I tried it many ways. Rapid breathing caused by anger, rapid breathing in anger, angerful rapid breathing, and that's not even a word. I just said, oh, what the heck, I'll just say angry rapid breathing. Is better than the mighty. And mighty means a warrior or powerful or champion. Who wouldn't want to be a champion? Who wouldn't want to be a mighty warrior? Somebody powerful. I'm not talking about the guy that's actually killing people, but I'm talking about all the strength, all the confidence, all the believing that comes with that person. We all want that. But you know, you'll never get that unless you choose it. And you can choose it. You don't have to sit and be complacent. You can actually move your life ahead in a godly way. And we, what do we say? Take the bull by the horns? I mean, you can go do anything you want to do. You can become anybody you want to become. You can feel any way you want to feel like. Especially if you have those two things I talked about earlier. Understanding God's word and the ability to manifest power. If you have God's word and power in your life, the sky's the limit. Heaven's the limit. Just do it. And you're going to have to learn to leave things behind. You're going to have to learn to accept changes in your life. New things, new ways. You know, like, for instance, if you want to work out and if you want to have your body look a certain way, you are not going to achieve any results by sitting on a couch. Well, you will achieve results. You can trust in the Lord and be made fat. Now we understand, okay? But if you really want to see something happen in your physical body, you better be doing something about it, okay? But I don't mean start. I mean up here in the head. There's got to be something that changes in the head. And that's with anything. If you want to accomplish great things at work, you've got to change something up here. If you want to accomplish great things in your marriage or in your school, it doesn't matter. It all starts up here. And that's the hardest part. You have to accept that part. And you can't live a life of defeat. You can't think the negatives all the time, because the negatives are always going to be there. But we know that. I mean, isn't that what we fight every day? Every day you say, well, I wish I looked better. And then you start thinking about the negatives. And then you start thinking, gosh, that means I have to change the way I eat. Oh, my goodness, I've got to go to the gym every day. And so this stuff just starts to work on you. Or I want to be better at work. Oh, that means I got to study. Well, I don't have time to study. I'm too tired today. And on and on, and you know, somebody wants me to do something with them, and you just never have the time. And I mean, it's just a constant barrage of negatives. Or you want your business to grow. Well, I want my business to grow, but really, I've got to work. I don't have time to do any of that other marketing stuff, and much less create a website and whatever. I mean, it's just constant. You have to make a change up here. And then it becomes your magic carpet. Then it becomes what carries you. And we all need to be carried. But nothing can carry you unless you start up here. You have to start up here. Don't ask and don't expect and don't talk to people as if something great's happening in your life when you know in your heart of hearts that you've not done anything up here. It's not going to happen. It will never happen. If you want to be the kind of person that sits in life and never does this part, where you change what you think, and then you finally get up to 80, 90 years old and you look back and you go, oh my gosh, I never did accomplish that. Why? And then you realize, I never accepted that battle. And won. I never did it. I was too scared to. But why would you be scared to do that? Isn't that what you really want? If it's something you really want, why not do it? And why not pray that God gives you the understanding so that whatever needs to click up here clicks? He can do that. That's what we want. God will give you any understanding on any subject you need, but you have to ask. You know, when people ask me, I love talking about working out and all that stuff, and I've studied the nutrition side. I'm learning more about the weight side, but I'm not that good at it yet, but I'm learning it. And I always get a kick when people, and I hear this all the time at the gym, when people talk about, well, they do this and they do that. And I look at their body and go, gosh, nothing's changed. I mean, it looks the same. But they're talking like big things have happened and nothing's happened. You know what I know? That they've never made that change up here. They've never made that commitment. And it's sad. And I pray that they do make that change. But you can see that with anybody and anything. When you look at somebody the next time they're talking to you about, oh, I wish, and oh, I want, and what if, you know, what ifs are detrimental. Oh my goodness, you don't want what ifs in your life. What ifs are just ridiculous. What ifs will take you down a road that you never want to go on. You just want to believe. What if this happened? What if that happened? Well, what if it did? But what are you going to do up here first? Are you going to stay on that magic carpet? I mean, what's going to carry you through every situation? Well, it comes down to believing. It comes down to confidence. It comes down to trust in God's word. And so when you read verse 32, he that is slow to anger. How would you ever be slow to anger if you didn't make a choice? How would you ever be patient when this angry, rapid breathing wants to show up if you hadn't already made a choice to be patient? You won't be. You have to start up here, long before the crises. Long before you start freaking out because you didn't get your job or you didn't get your goal or whatever it was, you have to start up here. And you can't let anybody talk you out of it. And you might need help. You might need somebody that does the same thing, helping you get there. We're so prideful sometimes, we won't accept help. That shows up in another verse. We'll see it eventually. But a lot of times, pride is what causes anger. Because you're too prideful to stop something, and then you just let the anger rule you. Well, he that is patient, when this angry, rapid breathing shows up, when his nostrils flares, is better than the champion, the powerful, the warrior. And he that ruleth, well, now here we have it again. That word ruleth means dominion. Do you know what dominion means? You rule. Nobody else rules, you do. Whatever it is. And he that has dominion over his spirit, and that word spirit is talking about your breath, your life breath, the real essence of you. Without it, you'd be dead. Then he that captures, taketh means captures, a city. And the word city means a guarded place, any guarded place. Do you know that most places that you want to go to are guarded? You want to have a good-looking body? That place is guarded. It's hard to get in. You got to work. You got to get through all kinds of security systems. Learn how to use the machines. Learn how to eat right. Learn how to deal with the egos in the gym. I mean, all this stuff. There's all kinds of guards around. Yeah, and you'll actually think at some point that they don't want you in there. You know, I want to be the greatest school teacher in the world. And you'll be beating on the doors and trying to get what you want. And you'll stand back and look and go, man, it's like they don't even want me there. Pfft, don't think like that. That's ridiculous. What you're experiencing is a guarded place. You know, you want to build a business, and you're trying to drive yourself, and you're doing all these things that you know is right to build your business, and it just seems so hard. It's guarded. You'll stand back and look at it and go, It's like nobody wants me to have a good business. You'll feel like that. That's ridiculous. Nothing of the kind. It's just guarded. You need to drive yourself. You need to start up here and get on that magic carpet and go into it. You can. You will. But you have to understand the laws involved. So that he that has dominion over his breath than he that captures a guarded place. If you learn to rule your life by making your own choices based on God's word, you will receive deliverance. You will walk into what you need in your life. Don't be complacent. Don't sit there and wish. And don't sit there and what if all the time. You will be left behind because there are people that apply these laws, that learn to control their spirit, that learn to have dominion over every aspect of their lives. You cannot let the world and the things of the world, the demons of the world, let's call them demons of the world, you cannot let any of those things waylay you. If you want to accomplish something, then you drive yourself. You do it. And don't let anything talk you out of it. Don't let your worries, don't let your fears, don't let your intimidations, your trepidations stop you. Nothing. Just don't. Just go. Just go and make it happen. Because you have the right to rule. You know, if you ever do a study on the word prosperity in the Bible, you'll understand that God wants you to be one of the most prosperous people on the face of the earth. Well, now that you know that, what are you going to do? Wallow in poverty? Cry about how much you don't have? Or are you going to believe? You see, it starts up here. You've got to start up here. There's no magic yellow brick road. I think that's one of the worst things of the Wizard of Oz, how it taught people that. There's no such thing as a magic yellow brick road for this. You start here, and that's the biggest step you ever have to take. Everything else after that is easy. He that is patient to control his angry, rapid breathing is better than the warrior champion. And he that has dominion over his angry, rapid breathing than he that captures a guarded place. Trust me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 again. I want you to understand that if you don't master the codes of Christian living, don't expect a whole lot more in life. If you have a desire for a whole lot more in life, i.e., I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly, then you must master the Christian codes. And no one can do that but you. If you've wallowed in your own self-pity and mire for so long that you think you'll never get delivered, it's because you haven't started here. That's the only reason. You have Christ in you. You have a knowledge of the Word. But you've got to go here and do this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I could even have an angelic tongue, but if I don't live according to the agape code of conduct, I am nothing but noise. My words are nothing but noise. Now, isn't speaking in tongues great? My goodness, you'd think that anybody that speaks in tongues ought to see themselves sitting right next to God. It's a supernatural act. It's worship. But even God says that you could be doing this supernatural act thinking that you're sitting right next to me, and you are. But if you don't live according to agape, you're nothing but noise. Now that's God's word. I didn't write that. And though I have prophecy In other words, prophesy, just like you heard in our meeting today, the worship manifestation of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Oh my gosh, that's huge. That sounds like Solomon. Wow, if I was like Solomon, so wise and knew so much and had so much believing that I could be my own mountain-moving real estate company, if I do not live according to agape, I am nothing. But I thought I was pretty great. I thought I was pretty great with all that wisdom. I thought I was really cool when I gave that word of prophecy in the meeting today. Man, all the wisdom that I have, the knowledge that I have, and those mountains. Look, I've got my three private mountains out here. I just moved them today. Without agape, I am nothing. Don't you come and tell me all the things you can do unless you're living according to agape. That's when I put value on you. That's when you put value on me. That's the most important thing that God... Do you know that 1 Corinthians 13 is like the Oreo filling between chapters 12 and 14? Chapter 12 is all about what the manifestations are. It lists all nine of them and talks about them. It talks about the body and the members in particular. It introduces to the Christian church the reality of the nine manifestations, the supernatural walk. And chapter 14 teaches how to use those in the church. There's nowhere else in the Bible to go. You've got what they are, and you've got how to do them, chapters 12 and 14, and right in the middle, the cream filling is the agape code of conduct. So you could be so great at the manifestations, understanding them and teaching them, and you can be so great at doing them in the church. But if you don't live according to agape, there's no cream in that cookie. Who wants it? I know people that are practically addicted to Oreos. They love them. They just love them. The double Oreos, oh my goodness. They just love them. Would they love them so much without the filling? Probably not. They'd be waiting and waiting. Show up, please, show up. When it would never happen, they go, oh, that's nothing. And then verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I literally give everything that I have. And I love giving. I spent nearly 20 years of my life researching giving. I wrote a book on it, The Grace of Giving. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I love to give. But if I gave all that I have, nothing left, and though I give my body to be burned, in other words, I burn myself out in service. I just constantly am serving in the church spiritually and have not charity, and I don't live according to the agape code of conduct, it profiteth me nothing. So I'm broke and completely burned out, almost dead, because of all the great things that I've done. And yet I have no profit in my life whatsoever without the cream. I need the cream. I need the Oreo cream. And that should be a goal of yours, to be filled with the Oreo cream. And that's going to change your life. And then when you read verse 4, just the first part, charity suffereth long. And you understand that that is the first in your quest to step onto your magic carpet. What's going to carry you through to your goal? You've got to be living according to the code. If you're not living according to the code, don't expect anything else. Oh, go have fun. That's fine. Do what you do. Have fun. Good. I like it. But don't put value on it. Don't expect value to be put on it. And don't ever expect to accomplish what you dream about. If you want to accomplish your dreams and live that more than abundant life that Jesus Christ gave his life for, then you've got to start up here. And it starts with putting anger away. Thank you.